You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle. Smalls back with us later in the week, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. We're going to get to Justin Fields in a second, but CC, some of the tweets coming in at Evco Radio at Chris Canty 99 for the most random quarterback wrestling VP combos in honor of Aaron Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura, potentially as RFK Jr.'s running mates here. Hodgepack Sports tweets, Big Ben and the Big Show.
Wow, I like that.
As a theme with the Big.
Big Ben and the Big Show, I like that.
Chris tweets, Jimmy G and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That is
Does he bring the 2x4 with him to the debates? Oh my God, I'll give you one more for now here. Mikey tweets, Jim Drunken Miller and Mankind's.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe next up we are going to look at random quarterbacks and random wrestlers.
Somebody tweeted out Peyton Manning and The Rock.
See, I think I would like that.
You would actually vote,
for
Peyton Manning and The Rock?
Yeah. You don't think they'd be good?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they stand politically, nor
like
do I care.
Who doesn't like those two individuals, though? The likability factor, like the Q rating, is off the charts with both of them.
Right. Yeah. Like, if the point is get people, we're not trying to get political.
Does he start every campaign speech with Omaha?
No, if he doesn't like what The Rock's doing, Omaha! What did I do?
Do you smell what we are cooking in the Oval Office?
The whole point of the two of us sitting here is just basically not to get political. Is why can't we just all get along, right? We've heard that before.
Oh, my God.
Did
you just go Rodney King?
Yeah. No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm saying why can't we all be happy and unified, et cetera?
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers in office is not where we're going. I'm sorry. One more. This is a good one.
What we got?
Jeff tweets, Gardner Minshew and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There we go. Stone Cold Stunner.
That's a good one.
I like it.
All right, we'll give you more of those as the show progresses here. All right, but so far, 2 days of free agency and offseason moves in the books, and no move for Justin Fields at all in any way, shape, or form. Why? Courtney Cronin, ESPN Bears reporter, was on Amber and Ian last night and had this to say about the Bears and Justin Fields right now.
The asking price that was floated out there, I've talked with about 10 different league sources since the start of the week to see if the Bears had changed anything. It's a second round pick. Very clearly, with the way that the quarterback cycle has gone throughout free agency and all the landing spots starting to dry up, so is the market right now for Justin Fields. So if they're looking to move him right now, it's not going to be for a second round pick because they have to figure other teams are telling you what they think through their inactions that they don't believe that Justin Fields is a starting quarterback, and they don't think that he's better than the bridge quarterbacks that signed, whether it's Sam Darnold for the one-year deal, Gardner Minshew in his two-year, $25 million deal to the Raiders. So it all depends on timing. Ryan Poles, the general manager, has said he's not in any rush to do this. Ideally, it would have been done by free agency, but it hasn't. So now we're in the wait-and-see game.
He's not in any rush because nobody will give him what he's looking for. That's what it is. So him coming out and making that statement sounds like spin to me. Like if the Bears could have traded him for a second round pick, they would have right now. This has nothing to do with their evaluation on Caleb Williams or any of the other quarterbacks at the top of the draft. They know they're moving on. It's just a matter of a team meeting their asking price. And right now, nobody is willing to give up a premium pick, i.e. a day one or an early day two pick, in order to get Justin Fields. They view him in large part as a developmental quarterback, and that's going into his fourth season in the National Football League. Yeah, that's not ideal. So I guess for Justin Fields right now, it's about putting yourself in the best situation, and I think the best situation, the best outcome for him right now, based on what has happened in the early going of free agency, is to go to a team that already has an incumbent starter that he could sit behind at least early on in the season, and hopefully, whether it's in the second half of 2024 or going into 2025, they anoint him as their franchise quarterback moving forward.
there is a viewpoint that I know CC disagrees with that I agree with here, and this will be an interesting debate here once we hear Kyle Long, former Bears offensive lineman, who put out there what he thinks they should do on his Twitter.
Well, it's obvious things are not what they seem. If you're a Chicago Bears fan and a lot of you thought Justin Fields was worth X, and now we've seen that Justin Fields is obviously in the minds of the National Football League worth Y. So this is why I'm saying you retain Justin Fields, you keep him. You also draft Caleb Williams. You get two quarterbacks for cheap. At some point during the season, somebody's going to come knocking on Ryan Poles' door because they will have an injury in their own building. They will need a quarterback that's ready, an explosive, dynamic option, and that's Justin Fields. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be on the shelf, and that is the easiest way to get Y plus five. If Y is his value league-wide, you're going to get Y plus five in the middle of the season if you retain him on the roster. I still think you go Caleb Williams. I think this is your best bet with the limited options for destinations for Justin Fields.
And that is, CC, what I have been saying all along. I know you have a reasoning as to why it doesn't make sense, but I just to put this out there, I am a big believer, and I put out my QB rules. I know that a lot of the teams are following those. I'd have co-radio as to what I would do with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big believer in guys not starting right away. That just taking a few games and kind of letting that season play out, seeing the game in a different way than you had previously. So what Justin Fields could allow you to do is start him on day one, maybe even in game two or three, and then ease Caleb Williams into it and then increase the value for Justin Fields once the guy gets hurt. What Kyle Long said is exactly the plan that I would go off of, especially right now when the value is not there for Justin Fields.
What Kyle Long said is what they should have done this past season when they had all of the quarterback injuries. What, we had 66 different starting quarterbacks in 2023? They should have traded Justin Fields after he had a five-day stretch where he played against the Denver Broncos, even in a loss at home, he threw for over 300 yards. And then he turned around and went on the road against the Washington Commanders and lit him up for 282 yards passing and four touchdowns. That five-day stretch, Justin Fields, with his arm and his legs, accounted for 700 yards of offense, eight touchdowns to only two turnovers. That's when they should have moved him. They should have moved him in early October of 2023. But the fact that you held on to him and you essentially allowed the string to be played out, knowing that you were probably going to be moving off of him because Carolina was trending toward having the number one overall pick, puts you in this predicament. And so if you stay pat, if you keep Justin Fields on this roster, you put Caleb Williams or whoever you take with the number one pick in a really tough spot. Let's say the hypothetical plays out like you said it would, mm-hmm, with Justin Fields being your week one starter.
Right.
Well, if he plays well, then you create an impossible bar to clear for Caleb Williams, because it's not just the productivity that Justin Fields has, but it's what the Chicago Bears could have got for the number one overall pick, which is an absolute haul. You might have got three first-round draft picks for a team that wanted to move up to number one and have their choice of quarterbacks. So that puts him in a really, really tough spot in that regard. But here's the flip side of that, the inverse. If Caleb Williams is the starting quarterback and he struggles, as all rookie quarterbacks do, then Caleb Williams is going to be looking over his shoulder while the teammates and the fan base are looking at Justin Fields. So again, it's a bad spot to put Caleb Williams in, no matter how the Chicago Bears choose to play it, whether Fields is the week one starter or Williams is the week one starter. So I just think it's all bad with keeping these two guys on the same roster. And the Chicago Bears should look at Justin Fields now as a sunk cost and do what they can to move on as quickly as they can.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about something that I don't think we've discussed one time, and it just came to me. I wish I had this prepared prior. The Chicago Bears probably would have been better off if the number one pick was theirs and not Carolina's, because it actually would have proven how bad they were all around
with Fields. Yeah.
The problem is the number one overall pick is not actually theirs. It's Carolina's. They have the number nine pick after having the number one pick the year before. So they actually were trending in the right direction, which actually in this case has backfired because it's led to uncertainty. If there was no trending in the right direction, there's clarity at the quarterback. He ain't it. There's clarity at the coach, which I know you are a believer in Eberflus in terms of giving him more time, which I'm fine with, but I would give him an extension if you're going to do that. That in some ways, they're kind of in no man's land because the pick is not actually theirs. They're kind of in that gray area. Are we heading in the right direction or are we not heading in the right direction? And the fact that it's Carolina's pick gives them no further clarity as to what to do right now. And I think people around the league are rightfully saying to them, we're not sure if this guy's good, thus we're not going to pay a price for him.
Yeah, but here's the part that I don't understand from Bears fans or people that are saying that they should stay with Justin Fields. How do you justify that based on what you've seen from him on the field? How do you justify the opportunity cost on passing on a quarterback?
Well, there's two schools of thought in terms of keeping Justin Fields. One is to actually make him the quarterback and not take Caleb Williams at one, which is not my school of thought.
But if you're taking Caleb Williams at one, he's your quarterback. He's your future.
Right, so but does he have to be your present?
So, no, he does, because you should be doing everything in the present in order to support him, which means also eliminating any distractions or any quarterback controversy. You would not be doing that if you keep Justin Fields on this roster.
Let's go there for a second. Do you believe in 2024, the way that the league is constituted, that if you have the number one pick in the NFL draft and you need a quarterback, the guy has to start number one and you cannot have any kind of other player that could even come close to starting?
I agree with that. And here's
no,
the
I'm
thing.
Asking.
No, I agree with what you're saying, what you're laying out. And typically, I'm one of those guys that believes in competition at every single position, including quarterback, except when you're trying to develop a franchise quarterback. You don't need any more controversy. You don't need any noise around that situation. What you want to do is make sure that everybody in the organization understands what the priority is, and the priority is developing the quarterback, even if it comes at the cost of winning in the short term. Because the quarterback is the guy that's going to help you get on solid footing to set the foundation for sustained success. If you don't develop him properly, you're not going to be able to have success and have a window where you can compete for a championship. And so that has to be the focus if you're the Chicago Bears. I get that the Bears fans are tired of waiting. They want to win games. But the priority in 2024 has to be developing the quarterback that you take with the number one overall pick, not extracting maximum value for Justin Fields, which is what Kyle Long would be suggesting by keeping Justin Fields around. And that's why I say you have to look at Justin Fields as a sunk cost. I get that it costs you 2 first-round draft picks to get him, but you're not going to get anything close to that because of what the rest of the league is telling you. If you were, this deal would have already been done. He wouldn't be on your team.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. More tweets coming in about the ex-quarterback/wrestler-VP combo. Mm-hmm. Jeff tweets, out of Co Radio, John Elway and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo!
There we go.
Coming up, Nick Saban, I think, went into wrestling character yesterday. We will explain next. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, we got a bunch of these coming in now. These quarterback wrestler combo packages for VP, because if you don't know, this is a real story, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Rodgers is now, I guess, on the short list with Jesse the Body Ventura for RFK Jr.'s cabinet, right, to be a VP. This is what we're at right now with these two. So people are tweeting in all different kinds of combinations, including our very own Pat Costello, who gave us Ryan Tannehill and the Honky Tonk Man. Now, that's a good one. I have a tweet here from Simon Barr, tweets at Upco Radio. Which of Pat Costello's action figures would make the best VP? Because Pat has a million wrestling ones. You had a bunch tweeted.
Doug Flutie and Dusty Rhodes.
Oh God, we could do this all day. Here, one more, Josh here. Lamar Jackson and Randy Orton. All right, there we go. Okay, all right, anyway. Yesterday, I still don't even understand what is happening in our world right now, in our sports world. So Nick Saban was in front of Congress yesterday? Okay. Why are we doing this?
Congress had an eventful day yesterday.
My God.
Eventful day.
So Nick Saban, now former head coach at Alabama, discussed, seven-time champion, of course, discussed modern-day athletes and the focus now on money.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this? So, you know, to me, that was sort of a red alert that we really are creating a circumstance here that is not beneficial to the development of young people. As I said before, name, image, and likeness is a great opportunity for them to create a brand for themselves. I'm not against that at all. But to come up with some kind of a system that still can help the development of young people, I think, is paramount to the future of college athletics.
You okay over there?
No, I'm not, because it reeks of privilege, that kind of statement. I mean, it's somebody that's sitting on a perch where they've had financial security, you know, for the better part of the last, what, four decades? That is not what a lot of these student-athletes coming into these major college football programs have. They don't get to enjoy that. So when you start talking about development, that sounds well and good, but guys want to know how they can maximize their athletic ability, how they can monetize it at the highest level. That's what it's all about. That's what major college sports are. When these coaches are making $10, $12, $14 million a year, the athletes want to know what's in it for them, and I don't blame them. Like, they're like, this is beyond amateurism. Like, we're starting to see the demise of the amateurism model where the NCAA says it's about being a student first, then an athlete. No. This is big-time sports, and we have to stop viewing it through the guise of these guys are being compensated with the opportunity for an education. The universities are making money hand over fist when it comes to their football programs, their basketball programs, and the players that were generating the revenue did not enjoy the growth of the sport commensurate to what was happening with the coaches and these schools. So the NIL and the way that things are now is just the opposite end of the spectrum, the opposite extreme. And this is a Pandora's box that the NCAA decided to open up when they didn't want to be reasonable and come to the table when athletes were asking that they would be compensated beyond just room and board and tuition.
I think what Nick Saban is actually saying is the goal and dream of everybody in the world to not have to worry about money and just worry about development. But that is just not what is actual reality.
No, it's not realistic.
Right? But I think at its core, like the idea of, can I just take a job, go to school, be a part of a team, whatever it may be, with the singular purpose of getting better from the point I start to the point I finish. That is always the goal. But that's not realistic for every single person. I'm not going to sit here and lie to the audience.
No, that's not realistic for most people.
99% of people.
No doubt.
Right. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you or the audience and say, I was fortunate. My dad worked his butt off to give me the opportunity to have internships where I made no money in those internships. But I started working in radio and sports broadcasting media at 18 years old because of him, not because of me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie, but that is not the norm, right? Every other person out there, 99% of people out there, can't do that, right? So to say, oh, you shouldn't take money. Yes, you should, if it's legal, moral, and ethical, which it is here. And so,
but here's the wild part, though. It's not like college students can't start a business while they're in college and make money.
Well, no, college students can, but student-athletes could not, which is ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like college students can, but student-athletes couldn't.
You could have invented Facebook and not been allowed to do it.
But here's the wild part. As an athlete, my body is my business. So quite literally, I'm going out here and using my athletic ability to generate millions of dollars in revenue for these programs. Tens of millions of dollars for the individual programs, hundreds of millions of dollars for these conferences, and yet I can't get anything beyond room, board, and tuition? So when NIL comes along, all these athletes are jumping at it and saying, hey, I can come out of high school and I can make hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, depending on how good I am, how highly rated I am. Why should you scoff at that? Why shouldn't you want to put yourself in a position when you can leverage your ability to the highest bidder? Of course you're going to do that. That is life-changing money for a lot of these athletes.
No doubt.
So why would I not be interested in how much you can pay me? That's going to be the priority. You're talking about development. That's all well and good. But if I can change my family's circumstance overnight by signing a letter of intent, you damn right I'm going to do it. Thank you. And I'm going to turn down nothing but my collar to these NIL collectives when it comes to the amount of money they're willing to pay.
And the weird thing about what Coach Saban said to me is that if Alabama, when he was there, would just meet whatever the price is for the star athlete, that's when the star athlete can then take care of their family and say, well, now I can worry about development. And you're the person I want to be developed by because you're the best coach ever. Right? So if Alabama's offering $10 and Clemson's offering $10, well, maybe I'm more likely to go to Alabama because I then can worry about development because I already got the $10.
And here's the dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about when it comes to these big-time college sports. Most of these dudes that are playing ain't going to the league. Most of them ain't going to the league.
Right.
So this is their one chance to maximize a lifetime worth of work from their athletic careers. This is a chance to cash in. Like, we talk about that with free agency, right? We talk about that with NFL free agency that started up a couple of days ago. We talk about that with NBA free agency. We talk about that. Like, these are the chances that these guys have to cash in. Well, yeah, they were the fortunate few that were able to make it to the professional ranks. Most of these kids in college sports, they ain't going to the league. So this is their time to cash in. Why should they not want to go to the highest bidder? Why should they not be more concerned with monetizing their athletic ability than they are from the coach being able to develop them?
Yeah.
Like, that's why the statement from Nick Saban and anybody else that supports this point of view is absolutely asinine and it reeks of privilege. These guys got to take advantage of the situation. You got to break bread when the oven is hot. And that's what they're doing. I don't blame these kids one bit. And this is a problem of the NCAA's own making. And say what you want, but Nick Saban was complicit in creating this dynamic now where things have gone so far to the opposite end of the spectrum with the NIL collectives and these kids making so much money.
So think about the flip side of it. Let's say the player that goes to a school simply for the development and they don't make it. And before this time, what do they do? Like, they get a free education, which is great. But if their whole life they're preparing themselves to make money off of a sport, then they can't.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, they have a fallback because they go to school at wherever the school is. But it doesn't work out for everybody.
But here's the other part about that, man, which is why it's trippy to me. You got to understand, based on the schedule and the demands of athletes in revenue-producing sports, you can't take full advantage of the value of that scholarship. You just can't. You know the amount of hours that I spent dedicated to football at UVA? And it's not even a football school. It wasn't even a football school. There were majors that football players couldn't take because they conflicted with our practice times, our practice schedules, our workout schedule. So what the hell is the value of the scholarship if there's a major that I want to take that I can't take because of football? Like that's the part that people don't talk about. And it's sickening. Oh, it should be about the development of young men and women. They're our future. No, you know how these athletes are looking at it? My future is now. I got to get this paper while I can. I'll figure out the rest at a later date. If I can make millions of dollars while I'm in college, let me do that. And then I'll worry about going back and getting my education. I'll worry about finishing up my degree after we talk about this money. That just makes sense. I'm sorry, man. People got to miss me all the way when it comes to, oh, we can't gloss over the development of the young men and women. Get the hell out of here.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Smalls back with us later in the week. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Kimberly A. Martin is here, ESPN NFL reporter. And today, political reporter.
I'm going to the White House, y'all. No.
Hello.
I've already let the Jets know that if Aaron wants my vote, I'm going to have to get exclusive one-on-one access this season. This is wild. Only the New York Jets, man. I love that beat.
Is he worth it?
Is he worth what, my dear?
Is Aaron Rodgers worth whatever this is?
Oh, we're in it. We're in the thick of it. Just sit back, strap on that seatbelt, enjoy the ride. Hands up, because wherever this roller coaster goes, it'll be entertaining. Once you commit, you got to go all in. I did not have this on my bingo card. RFK Jr., VP, but if Woody can have a government like appointment. Why not the quarterback of your franchise? What the hell, man?
Well, I'm just saying, a billionaire ambassador is slightly different than vice president of the United States.
But
I just want to ask you, K-Mark, because you keep your ear to the ground out there in them Florham Park streets. What are people around the organization saying about this?
You know what's funny? Everything about Aaron Rodgers, I think we've talked about him so much the last couple last offseason, obviously, coming to New York. And it seems internally a lot of the stuff that we're talking about doesn't really filter in. Like even Sauce Gardner made a joke on Twitter that, or X, whatever we call it now, was like, oh, so that's why Aaron's not returning my text, because he's running for VP. You know what I mean? Like, it's like tongue in cheek. I think right now, because we're in March, I don't think it's that big a deal internally. I think it's more like funny.
Here's the thing. In saying that, Aaron Rodgers said to the USA Today back in January, anything in this building that we're doing that has nothing to do with winning needs to be
distractions.
Addressed.
Oh, yeah, distractions. Yeah,
everything that we do has to have a purpose. The crap that has nothing to do with winning has to get out of the building. I mean,
he's not talking about himself.
What he's doing now is the definition of hypocrisy.
Hey, guys, he's not talking about himself.
Okay, so do as I say, not as I do.
Correct.
Okay.
Because he was the guy on the Pat McAfee show, which we love the Pat McAfee show, every Tuesday. He was the one, you know, doing interviews and talking about, you know, all sorts of his scientific, you know, beliefs and all that stuff. So Aaron doesn't see that. I don't think he sees any of that, any of the Aaron interests as a distraction. I think when he made that comment, he was more talking about internal leaks and people trying to cause a wedge within the organization. I don't think he sees any of the stuff that he's doing as a distraction. Even the VP candidacy. That's where we're at, guys.
You can't be serious. They are not a serious team right now.
Listen, I need these people. I need the Jets. Listen here, Roger Goodell, HBO Films. I need the Jets on Hard Knocks again. I don't care.
Back to back.
Strap whoever you are thinking of putting there. I don't care. I need to see Aaron Rodgers and the whole, I need it.
Kimmer, you just opened up a whole other can of worms with me because I didn't realize this. I am Sauce Gardner 8 hours ago.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron about to become the VP. That's why he ain't been answering my text messages. You're saying tongue in cheek, but now in my head, I'm going to the place of the star defender is trying to get in touch with the star quarterback.
Come on.
I'm saying that's where I just went with this.
Listen, I just told you, strap on your seatbelt, enjoy the ride, okay? Stop getting in the weeds, getting all like, Sauce can't get a hold of Aaron. No, right now it is not an issue for them. We're going to talk about it, as we should. But everything, like these guys, like Aaron Rodgers, you don't understand. This is like Aaron Rodgers is manna from heaven. Coming to the Jets. These kids are all in. Aaron can do no wrong. Aaron is the man. We will ride with it. Whether they share the same political beliefs or beliefs on vaccines, like it doesn't matter. Like Aaron Rodgers is his own thing, who they love. And it's not gonna be an issue as of right now.
Yeah, and by the way, to be clear, CC and I have said for our entire show so far, if he wants to do this, go for it. Whatever side of the aisle he wants to be on, totally
but,
fine.
Where's the but?
You can't also be the quarterback.
It's never you can been be the done VP. Before, but guys, it's never been it's done never before. Been. But I don't know if you know that Aaron Rodgers, once you tell him he can't do something, this is absolute bananas. But so it's funny until come election season, and we're literally like, so like, is Aaron really doing this? Like, is this really happening?
We're not writing it off, is what we're saying.
No, but what? No.
No, no. No. Okay. All right. No easy transition off of that.
No, and nothing, not at all.
Nothing as funny as that.
No.
But can I just say, did you think Jesse Ventura would become a government official? No. No
Arnold
one did.
Schwarzenegger?
Hello. Hello. It's happened before. I will not put anything past Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about day two free agency yesterday. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry to the Ravens.
I love it.
Okay. Tell us why.
Think about Todd Monken. Not only is he their offensive coordinator, not only is he going to stretch you out, right, as a defense, but now he's gonna force you to have to be quick enough to sort of keep Lamar in the pocket, but also your defense has to be strong enough to literally stand between Derrick Henry and the goal line. I absolutely love this. Him running behind Ricard, like, this is perfect fit. I was they were the front runners to land him. I was hoping he would go. I know a lot of people were saying, especially we talked on First Take and Get Up, about how the Cowboys should have been in on Derrick Henry. I never really saw that as a fit, knowing that the Cowboys didn't even reach out before last year's trade deadline to even inquire about Derrick Henry. So I love it. Here's the thing. Adding Derrick Henry to Baltimore ensures, Chris Canty, that they will actually run the damn ball when the playoffs are on the line. So I'm all for it. Does it make them like a Super Bowl contender? I think they already were that. I don't think they're the best team in the AFC, even with Derrick Henry.
That's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, like, but I love this move.
It's
I love
the Chiefs
move.
Until otherwise
yes,
notified.
Exactly.
But Kmart, since you went there, I got to go back to the Dallas Cowboys. You said maybe they wouldn't have been in on Derrick Henry because they didn't even reach out at the trade deadline. But there were other veteran running backs out there that were there to be had, and yet the Cowboys didn't make a move. I mean, we saw Joe Mixon get traded for a late round draft pick to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Houston's going to pay him $6 million.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you couldn't have made that move. There are so many moves that the Dallas Cowboys could have made within the margins to supplement what they already have, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and yet they're not doing anything. Does anybody know exactly what the offseason plan is for the Dallas Cowboys beyond trying to retain their own?
Christopher, are you doubting that Jerry Jones is all in?
Yes, I am.
Is that doubt that I hear coming from
that
you?
That is doubt.
It's a little questionable because the only running back that they have under contract right now is Deuce Vaughn. So that's a little questionable. Losing Tony Pollard to the Titans. I thought the Cowboys should have been in on Saquon. I understand the price tag for a lot of teams that were even in the running back market. They felt like they could have gotten better value. Good value, same value, but at a cheaper price. So I'm fine with that. But the Cowboys, for me, when I look at the Cowboys, it's fine if you don't splurge in free agency. I don't think a lot, like we hype up free agency, and a lot of times these moves aren't what set your team apart come January. But I will say the Cowboys, they've lost their coordinator. They lost Kellen, like they've lost like pieces here now, like, and not just, and coaches, players. So I'm just, I know they're going to address the running back position in the draft. That's what we'd expect. But with their salary cap situation, like, I didn't expect them to be heavy players. Like, I kind of want to see them get this Dak situation figure out what they're doing with CeeDee and Micah. I don't love the Cowboys stand and pat, but I'm okay with it because it's March.
Well, here's the other thing. You're saying figure out those other situations where CeeDee and Dak in particular, mm-hmm. that's two of your top three salary cap hits.
Indeed.
Being able to take care of that before the start of the new league year gives you maximum flexibility going into free agency. So, I mean, even though you haven't been active in the first 48 hours, I mean, you still would have had more flexibility in order to be able to go out and make moves within the margins to improve your ball club. I mean, I guess the approach and the negotiating strategy for Jerry makes no sense if you're going to be all in.
Hey, Tad Prescott, are you saying that the Cowboys don't have an amazing front office. What are you doing, Christopher? What are you saying?
They're great. They're great at drafting players.
Hello.
They're great at drafting players. Hello? Nobody's saying that, but what has that resulted in terms of playoff success? Not a damn thing.
Well, and we've also suggested, I'll bring on the air what we said, CeCe and I, like, we're not saying that they have to necessarily sign Derrick Henry or they have to sign the equivalent of let's just call it Danielle Hunter, right? Mm-hmm. Like some big Eric Kendricks, a linebacker, was signed by the Niners
today.
Come on,
man.
He's not going to get huge headlines. Mm-hmm. He's a really good football player. The Niners know what they're doing. We haven't seen the numbers yet. Schefter reported it. But it's probably going to be like a $10 an hour contract. No, I'm serious. Like,
that's exactly the kind of move
you want to see the Cowboys make.
Yeah, he and I are going to earn the same amount of money this season, probably.
Whoa, good job.
Okay, let's go. I meant to be way cheaper. Oh, man. No, trust me. Hey, no, don't let these people think that I'm making bank here. No, I get it. Because I think you want to see quality moves made this time of year to add depth or to fill roster holes. I don't want to push the panic button right now on the Cowboys. They do have a lot of question marks, but because I know we will be talking about them week after week for the next 1900 years, I'm good with right now giving Jerry, like, okay, let me see. You say you're all in. Let's see how we handle Dak and CeeDee and the draft. Because as you said, Chris, they draft very well. So if you build through the draft, I'm good with that. But give them time to do that.
Kimberly A. Martin, you'll see her on Get Up, First Take, and at the bank, it sounds like, today as well. At the bank. Oh, she'll be swimming in cash.
I'll be Scrooge McDuck out there. Yeah, exactly.
Eric Kendricks and Kimberly A. Martin will make the same thing this year.
That's what
I heard.
And
we don't know what Eric Kendricks is going to make. Man. So keep an eye on Schefter's Suites for that information. I know that you're not going to break the bank by going to True Green. It's not going to cost you that much, and it's going to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank. True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy TrueGreen's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. By the way, go to their website, TrueGreen.com. 50% off your first TrueGreen service right now. Go to TrueGreen.com. Transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day this time, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items in and around sports, entertainment, his life that he's over. I will start by saying I'm over Pat giving CeCe assignments during the show that aren't the show. He's literally over here. People can see on ESPN, too. He's watching the 96 NBA Finals.
Yeah, Game 1, Bulls-Sonics. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's not relevant right now, CeCe.
No, it is relevant because in Costello's America, this would be absolutely trash entertainment. And I'm trying to refute the fact because we're watching the greatest player of all time at the pinnacle.
Clank
of the
threes,
sports,
yeah. Great.
Which is the NBA Finals. Like, I'm not going to stand for the 90s basketball slander. I'm just not going to do it.
Canty, I feel you on that, but it was a little rough watching that. Like, because
it's rough watching.
How about the Sixers last night against your team?
Defense? That's rough. watching guys actually play defense.
There was
rough.
I love Gary Payton, but like him trying to back down from the 3-point line, like it's
no.
The game has evolved.
Yeah, guys, that's because they were actually playing defense, Nuno.
Sean Kemp took about 9 shots from 19 feet away. Like, what are we doing?
Are we not paying attention to the last 2 games from the Knicks that and I'm not knocking the Knicks. I'm knocking their opponent. I'll get to in a second here. Nuno's a fan of the Knicks.
Oh, yes. Yeah, great defense. The last 3.
79-73, 2 games ago, they beat the...
They lost that game
to the Sixers. 79-73. And then last night, they beat the Sixers 106-79. So the Philadelphia 76ers scored under 80 points 2 games in a row. Okay? 2 games in a row. And you're going to tell me that it is so much worse today? And I love the NBA. You guys know that. I love it. Can't wait for the Heat and the Nuggets tonight.
You gotta watch a game, man. You gotta watch a game
in the 90s.
No, you have rose-colored glasses on how that game looked back then, because it does not age well. It is aged poorly. It aged like milk.
CeCe's done that.
I completely disagree. I'm sitting here watching it. Like, this is actually basketball where they play defense. And I'm sorry, I don't want to see. I don't want to see NBA games.
That should have been a charge.
I don't
want to see a block.
No, it was a blocking foul.
On Michael?
I don't want to see NBA players score 70 points every other night. I just don't want to see. I don't want to see 40 point triple doubles every single week.
It's way better to watch Luke Longley throw a ball off the backboard so hard it almost shattered. Okay. Yep, that's what we want. Okay. That's what we need.
I always liked Luke Longley.
All right.
Anyway, go ahead, Pat.
Jake Paul needs to stop it. He needs to stop it. He needs to stop fighting guys who are old, who are out of shape, and who are going to lose to him. Because he's going to hurt someone at some point, and it's getting to the point where it's getting a little bit embarrassing. Like, he could legitimately hurt Mike Tyson, and people talk about 90s rose-colored glasses. People think that that's the Mike that's going to be coming out there. It is not.
I don't know.
Jake Paul is a very good boxer, and he can hurt someone at this point.
Maybe I'm crazy. If Mike Tyson was in a wheelchair, I wouldn't fight him.
I just saw Mike against the Mitch. He looked pretty damn good to me. Like, this whole...
He's hitting something not moving.
Mike Tyson's going to be in harm's way getting in the ring with Jake Paul. Give me a break, man. Like, give me a break. Like, Mike Tyson is going to carry Jake Paul for the distance and win this exhibition fight. There's no chance that Jake Paul has of hurting Mike Tyson in the ring.
There's a very good chance.
No shot.
I don't think you realize how good of a boxer he is.
Him by Mike Tyson hitting his face and Mike Tyson breaking his hand while hitting him. I guess that could be hurting himself while fighting Jake Paul. But it ain't going to be because of Jake Paul throwing a punch when Mike Tyson gets hurt. I promise you that.
Next one.
I don't understand why we're so obsessed with the royal family as a culture. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, there is a huge obsession going on with everything happening with the royal family, and I just will never understand it. They're just famous for being famous. They don't do anything. They don't make anything. They don't contribute really anything to society other than we're famous, so pay attention to us.
Okay,
and it blows me away.
But look at it this way. If one of the most famous people in the world, or one of the most famous people in our country, just was not seen nor heard from for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result of that accusation, like, where are you? What's going on? A photo was distributed by that person that was clearly edited and doctored from years prior, whatever it is. That is going to create a stir. Can you imagine if we didn't hear from Taylor Swift for 2 years?
Yeah, but Taylor Swift is actually famous for a reason.
That's not my point.
I'm just kidding. Like what he's saying is they're famous for just being famous.
Understood. But I'm just saying I'm fascinated by what's going on. Like, what happened to her? Is she okay? Do we have any? We don't know, right?
I hope she's okay. I'd be lying to you to say that I thought about it at all over the past 4 or 5 days. I haven't.
Well, I'm not saying I'm, like, losing sleep at night because I'm wondering where Kate Middleton is.
You said imagine the frenzy that it would be. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not thinking about Kate Middleton. I'm just not.
I'm not going to lie. I think more about Chris Middleton than I do Kate Middleton. But in general.
Well, he's been missing about the same amount of time, too.
And he is so important to that team. Anyway, but
Evan, where were you with this whole, remember, Richard Simmons, right? Like,
yeah.
He was missing for a while, and it's like, hey, what's going on with Richard Simmons? And, like, I think he just dropped a new song recently.
Did Nuno just compare Richard Simmons to Kate Middleton?
That happened. That just happened.
Wait a minute.
That happened.
I want Nuno to wear the Richard Simmons getup one
day.
With a tank top and the shorts. We need to, Mark in our TV department needs to make Nuno into Richard Simmons. No, we need to Photoshop
nobody
that.
Wants to see
I
that.
Want Nuno
nobody
Simmons.
Nobody wants to see that.
That's what he's not telling you is that's how he became skinny, Nuno. The Richard Simmons workouts.
But Richard Simmons... The interesting thing about Richard Simmons is who then is looking for it? Like, there's a whole thing with Wendy Williams now. How you doing? Shout it out. Ooh, ooh. You don't know that?
Yeah, I got you.
But, I mean, everybody was looking for her, too.
Yeah, and then when we found out what was going on with her...
We stopped looking?
It's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, it's really sad.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying...
just put a damper on the whole thing. It's really, really sad.
Back to you, Pat.
Okay. So ESPN put out their top 100 baseball players, and Shohei Ohtani was ninth. I just want to repeat, Shohei Ohtani was ninth on the list.
How is that even possible?
Aaron Judge was second. Every Yankees fan in America would take Shohei Ohtani over Aaron Judge right now. I can't believe this. I can't believe he's ninth.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. I want to know the eight players that they have in front of them. I mean, you mentioned Aaron Judge. I'm just sitting there thinking.
So the list is
you
Ronald
think that
Acuna
there are
Jr.
eight players. Well, Ronald Acuna Jr. is really good.
He's number one.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge is two.
Okay.
Soto is three. So Yankees have two of the top three players in baseball.
Oh, my God.
Mookie Betts. Now it's shortstop because he just needed more things to do and have a different position. Fourth for the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman, fifth. Corey Seager, sixth. Gerrit Cole, seventh. Yordan Alvarez, Astros, eighth. And then Ohtani. So Ohtani's actually the third best Dodger.
That is wild to
He's
me.
The
that
third
is
best.
That is absolutely wild.
If you just gave your third best player $700 million, something's wrong.
Really wrong with you.
I think he's their best player, and Mookie Betts is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how you make the argument against him being a top three player in baseball. How do you have Juan Soto over Shohei Ohtani?
I would say, is it because of the pitch, not pitching this year, but that doesn't even make sense,
yeah,
that argument.
He's still an outstanding hitter. He had 40 home runs last year, and he didn't even play the whole season.
Canty, would you want Ohtani or Judge right now?
Ohtani.
Okay.
It's not Judge close. Is already hurt.
It's just not close. Yeah, Judge is already hurt. Yeah, that's true.
And Gerrit Cole. Great.
Well, yeah, we don't know if we're going to get Cole back for opening day, so yeah.
What a shame.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.